Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hobbs and Friends of the OSR. I'm your host, Jason Hobbs. I just got back from Game Hole, and I got a great guest that I've wanted to talk to for a while. He is the author of The First Sentinel, and he co-wrote Death and Taxes for Lesser Gnome, which is part of Frog God Games. And most recently, he wrote for the Midderlands Kickstarter that just funded like 10,000 times higher than it was supposed to. Here he is, Edwin Nagy. Is that right?
That is perfect, man. Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome.
So both of us, I think, have a serious case of con voice.
I think you're right. I do. I actually just listened to Gaming and BS did an episode, post-con episode on Sunday, and they sounded like shit, too.
Yep. Yeah, I was in teaching yesterday, and yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, and towards the end of class, I nearly just couldn't talk anymore. So I think we had a good time.
We did. All right. So do you have anything? I kind of gave you a little bit of introduction. Do you want to give yourself a little bit of an introduction or anything, Edwin?
That was pretty good. So I, started off working with Lesser Gnome, and I'm doing a bunch of translation work for Frog God Games, moving from Swords and Wizardry to 5th edition. I've done some translation work for Dark Naga and some other independent publishers, and that's been a lot of fun. Just kind of seeing how the different systems change the games a little bit. You know, you've got the same story but different rules, and how does the flavor change? That's been kind of interesting to dig into.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, do some editing.
That's awesome
play
stuff. When you say translation, you mean conversions, or like you're changing it from French to English?
Conversion, yeah. It feels similar to me, though, from language translation to rules conversion. Like when you go from English to French or whatever, there's some things that say easier in one language or the other. And I think it's the same thing. There's some things that say easier in 5th edition versus Swords and Wizardry or Labyrinth Lord or 4th edition or 2nd edition, whatever, or some other game set completely. And it's sort of, you know, that some pieces sort of feel very 1st edition and some pieces feel very 3.5 or Pathfinder, and it's sort of the focus changes a little bit when you change systems. And I think that's true also when you go from language to language a little bit.
I would totally agree. That makes a lot of sense. I never thought of it like that. So it's cool that you use that term instead of the other. So, all right. So I like to talk about how we know each other, and I think we met each other at GaryCon 2 years ago. Is that right?
Sounds good. No. I'm willing to agree with you.
Well, you didn't go last year, and I know it was at the Big Lodge and not at the old place. So that's why I'm guessing it was 2 years ago. We hung out a lot with Eric Hoffman, and we played some games, and that was cool. We also played in Eric's Keep on the Borderlands game together online quite good a few stuff. Times. You have your cheater character, Sarah, right, who wears chainmail armor as a wizard.
cast a spell and then put on the plus one chain and hang out in the back for the next hour or two.
Anyway, that was a pretty fun, but I guess I have it on here. Did you have anything that you wanted to say about Eric's game? Or you haven't played in it in a while, so.
I haven't played in it in a while. No, I mean, it was a great game. I feel like it hasn't happened in a while. It's not just that maybe you just didn't tell me about it.
You're right.
What are you talking about?
You're right. It hasn't since we found all the people, all the chaos guys stationed outside of town ready to attack us.
Since the war was about to happen, and we realized, that we're like, oh, shit, we've got a big war happening. We don't know what to do.
Yeah, so I think all the listeners should send an email to Eric Hoffman and tell him to run that goddamn game so we can find out what happens.
Absolutely.
All right, so... on that note, it's time to talk about our gaming this week. So Edwin and I were both at Game Hole Con, and it was crazy. But other than that, before I went, I actually played in Cody Maz's Labyrinth Lord West Marches campaign, which just kind of started. And it's not really a West Marches campaign. It's really just kind of a drop-in, drop-out sandbox game. But still pretty cool to see other people running games like that, and I really enjoyed it. I also ran a session of Kalmata for Eric Farmer right before we went to Game Hole, and that was pretty fun. What about you? Is there any games you played before Game Hole, Edwin, you want to talk about?
Right before game hole, we lost power in the greater Maine region, and my weekly home game, which started in Whispers and Venom 3 or 4 years ago, and we just recently switched over to Numenera for the past month or two, but we actually didn't play because all of our houses had no power, and the streets were full of downed power lines and trees and stuff, so we were kind of playing a little adventure game in real life. I did play after game hole yesterday, last night. I played in my Skype of Cthulhu game, which we're doing Assault on the Mountains of Madness, and we're just starting out. Super fun game. So this is just playing over Skype, and then we have a shared set of notes that we type into, and occasionally handouts get dropped into, but we don't do any maps really. So that was yesterday. I missed a few games because of game hole, but I think it's all right. Missed some of my other online games, but yeah, I had some great games at game hole. We're supposed to not talk about them. Is that what you're sort of?
No, we can talk about them now. I was just saying, go ahead.
So I ran three games at game hole. I ran a surprise game on Thursday night for some poor people that were expecting to play Dungeon World, and ended up playing Swords and Wizardry with me in a sort of a mystery game. And I ran a Call of Cthulhu game with Ties to Bind. There we go. It was super fun. I had a great table of players. And then I ran one of the many sessions of Rappanathic on the printed dungeon in 5th edition. And there, too, we had a great table. That was actually one of the – it was 8 players. And I almost never play or run in games that big. It's not normally my thing. But they did a great job. They killed the gelatinous cube. They killed the ghost. No problems at all. And then the kobolds came, and the giant rats. Oh, the giant rats got them first. That's right. And then the kobolds took them down. So that was pretty excellent.
So about a couple of those games, that Swords and Wizardry game was kind of funny. And this was also just on Gaming and BS because we were sitting in the booths, both Hobbs and Friends and Gaming and BS had booths at Game Hole Con, and we're just sitting there hanging out on Thursday. And one of the guys who runs the con, Josh, comes up and he's like, Brett, one of your games, you know, the GM didn't show up. And we were like, who? And then we're like, oh, yeah, Chris Sneezak, the guy who edits this show, forgot to cancel his game. So
you think this is going to make it into the podcast, though? I don't think so.
We'll see. I bet it will. Yep, yep. I'll bet it will. But anyway, so these guys didn't have a GM. And so Edwin stepped up to the plate and took over, and Brett took him some glasses, so I think it's probably way better than Chris would have done anyway. I'm just kidding about that part. But that was awesome for you to do.
So if you guys are listening, I hope you had fun. You were a good table. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys had fun too.
Also in that Call of Cthulhu game, Hawk, my cousin, at his first con, the guy who does the art for the zine and was also a guest on this show, played in that. So, and that's probably his first time actually playing Call of Cthulhu. Yeah, that's so what he said. Horrible was that? Let's really put him under the grinder.
Yeah, he's obviously someone who doesn't know how to play role-playing games. He does it wrong. He has wrong fun.
Bad wrong fun, Hawk.
Bad wrong fun, exactly. Yeah, I can't believe he was having so much fun. I was really annoyed.
All right, so anyway, we had a blast at Game Hole. I actually ran Kalmata Live for the first time. And I had I actually knew everyone at the table, and so that was pretty awesome. Hawk played in that game, and Del Teagler, a great artist for Astonishing Swordsman and Sorcerers of Hyperborea, played in that. Jeff Jones from Peoria, Bendit and one other guy. I should know who it is, but I don't. But anyway, we actually had a ton of fun. I planned on running it off my laptop, and I couldn't get that to work, so I ended up basically just making everything up as I went, like I always end up doing anyway.
Like you always do.
Off my phone, if that, showing some pictures that I had or whatever. And nobody died. It was very unusual in Kalmata. Usually people die there, but not this time. And they survived and had some fun carousing afterwards. And I really feel like I need to run 3 hour sessions, man. I'm telling you, because I'm so used to running two and a half, 3 hours online. By the third hour in that game, I was like, oh my God, please kill me. This game should be over by now.
That's funny, because like the Call of Cthulhu game, and I think this is pretty typical with Call of Cthulhu, the first 45 minutes or an hour, everybody's sort of pepped up. They go fine, and then they sort of realize they're not getting anywhere because they're investigating and nothing's panned out yet, and so there's sort of this real dip in the energy, and then maybe another half hour or 45 minutes goes on, and then something happens. They've tripped something, and then it's all up till then, and I think we had the highest energy for the last, like, 10 minutes just cruising into the finish line. But I definitely – the other game, the Swords and Wizardry game, yeah, we had some – the energy was – we were off a little bit there on the end. That one doesn't have a solid ending. I was thinking about the difference between having a con game that has a real punchline versus a start of a campaign game, which has a lot of open doors at the end of the 4 hours or whatever.
That's a pretty interesting idea. Yeah,
so that was sort of interesting.
I can really see how that is, whereas if you're going to – running a hex crawl or just open-ended, like you say, compared to like a railroad or whatever. I mean, obviously you can, you know exactly what's happening. You know what you want to get to, you know, all those things. So you can ramp it up at the end. So I could see definitely a difference in it. That was David Bresson, who's the other guy in that game, by the way, who basically was asleep the whole time. That's why I forgot about him. just kidding, buddy.
Oh, right.
He has a 2-year-old or something. So I got to give him a break. Right. All right. So this is a super long introduction, Edwin, but I guess we had a lot to talk about. Now it's time for Everything About You, the famous Ugly Kid Joe song. What do you got for me, Edwin?
Oh, you want me to start? All right. So the reason that I am probably unable to play in your game this evening is that I'm supposed to hop onto a conference call for an Engineers Without Borders student chapter that I help support. So this is a group of students that try to provide generally freshwater or wastewater solutions in third world countries. So they raise a bunch of money, they travel overseas, they do some designs. It's kind of a fun little group. So that's something that I have been working with for a few years that I don't think I talk about much.
Wow, that sounds awesome. That really blows the "I like to wear my hat backwards" out of the water.
You know, and I never knew that about you. I was going to say that, I mean, you've had to come up with, what now, 8 things that people don't know about you. So this is only the first one. I mean, by the time I get to number 8, like where you're at with your episode numbering, I'm going to be on down to wearing my hat backwards too.
This is 24. It's not 8, so it's even worse. Someone asked me about that, though. Hey, how are you going to keep coming up with these Everything About You? I'm like, well, life goes on, you know. I could say that
I'm a DM. I'll lie.
During school, I was probably in – just between kindergarten and my senior year, I was in 4 different schools, I think, which isn't the same as some people. They're like almost every year, but it was still pretty – I never moved from town to town until my junior year in high school, and I moved in the middle of the year. Like on Friday night, I played for the Mendota Trojans on a football game against the Amboy Clippers. On Monday, I was going to school for Amboy Clippers, so it was kind of weird in that situation. All right. So I guess that takes us to our main topic. I really wanted to talk to Edwin about streaming and gaming online. And I guess there's 2 different things, recorded or streaming, but we'll get into that later. But Edwin does a great Twitch show for Frog God Games where they use 5e to plumb the depths of rapping a thuck. But more importantly, he's got a 24 hours of games, which he streams for the Extra Life, a pretty awesome charity. So you want to talk about that a bit, Edwin?
I would love to. Yeah, thanks. So yeah, so this will be our 3rd year coming up on November 17th of doing the 24-hour gaming. 2 years ago, we played in the back room of a bar for 24 hours, and it was just on us to do it, and it was pretty awesome. We had they left the taps open for us. So that was a long 24 hours, but we made it. The following year, we decided we would stream it, and then we could have a little audience interaction. And so last year, we got a room, got some cameras, some mics, and got some technically savvy undergrads to do the streaming part. And that was super fun because we had audience chatting back and forth with us during the game. And this year we're doing it again, but it's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. So it's basically we'll have maybe 18 or 19 hours of dungeon delve, and in the middle of it, we'll have 5 or 6 hours of Call of Cthulhu, a Weird West scenario. And basically what we're doing is we'll have the Twitch stream up, so people will be watching us real time, and then we'll have the text chat going in Twitch, and they will be on the chat, and audience will be on the chat, and they can write in and say, hey, wouldn't it be great if this happened? And we can say, yeah, it'd be awesome if that happened. If you make a $10 donation to our Extra Life team, you can make that happen. We'll also have a bunch of raffles, so people who are donating money can win. So we have prizes from all kinds of cool gaming companies. But the real fun part, I think, the thing that really makes the live stream game different is having a real-time audience. I think you probably remember even you've had a game with an audience, right? We've all had games with audience. It might have been your cousin, or it might have been somebody's friend, or you know, partner or spouse or whatever who just wandered into the room. And right? And the game changes. You know, there's the 5 or 6 of you around the table, you're all into your thing, and then all of a sudden there's somebody else in the room with you, and suddenly you're on stage. It's a different game. And that's kind of interesting, and it's kind of neat.
For me, I usually stop. I usually stop gaming.
Right,
for
yeah,
me,
exactly.
Like, oh, get out of here. What are you doing? Stop watching me do this stupid voice.
I don't want to role play in front of you. I'm just kind of role playing for my players. But in this case, we're going to take it and run with it. So we'll have this. We do this for live games too. Sometimes at cons, we do some fundraising games where the audience or the players can donate money to make stuff happen. And it's a super fun challenge in terms of getting your improvisational GM skills improved, because, you know, they're going along the hallway of a dungeon, and somebody says, well, you know, for $50, I want to see a massive cannon battle out in the fields. And you say, well, $50 to help the children, we can make that happen. And so now all of a sudden, you know, DM's job, figure out how to get those players out onto the fields in the middle of a cannon battle. So it's a fun game. It's a fun challenge. And, but yeah, the streaming is definitely a different game.
I actually mentioned the Extra Life in the last episode that dropped today, I believe, so people don't even necessarily know what we're talking about, but they should, because I kind of explained what the charity was and everything. I just wanted to say that included in this game that he's running on the 17th, I'm going to try and be in the chat room to heckle people and maybe try and get some more people excited to show up and talk about what's going on. I'm not giving any more money because, no, I'm just kidding. I'll try and give some money, or we can try and get some listeners for our Hobbs and Friends to be over there and do what they can.
So I will say that Hobbs is on our fundraising team, and I think right now he is in dead last place. So if you listeners want to go on to the Extra Life and give a little money in his name, so he doesn't look like such a loser, I think that would be a good thing.
Yeah, I've done nothing so far.
It all goes to the same place. That's the best part.
That's fantastic.
It all goes to the children's hospital. So,
sound like you had some sponsors you wanted to mention?
Sure. So Frog God Games is our main sponsor, and we will be on their Twitch channel. We also have prizes from Kobold Press, the HP Lovecraft Historical Society, Pacesetter Games, Gallant Knight Games, and Chaosium. So for all of them, basically at different times during the 24 hours, we'll have different raffles. So, you know, if you donate, I think $5 or more, every time you donate $5 or more during the 24 hours, you get entered to win one of the hard copy, big hard copies from Frog Gods, either the Blight or Rappanaphic. And we'll have a bunch of PDFs. We'll have some recorded. We've got some recordings of Rats in the Walls from Lovecraft, and I've lost the other one. But we also have one of the big prizes from HP Lovecraft Historical. They have put together a set of recordings of the complete works of HP Lovecraft. And so that is also one of the prizes up for grabs. So all of those guys. Also, I work at the University of Maine, and they are helping to support us by providing space and technical support. So that's pretty awesome. And we'll have some sweet-looking maps, thanks to Frog Gods, that'll be on the video. We've gotten all kinds of support.
Sounds awesome. And like I say, I'm going to be there, not all 24 hours, but I'll be involved for sure. I think it's the day after my wife's birthday. So that's pretty exciting.
Cool. That is. I'm sure she will enjoy celebrating it with us.
So talking about, basically running streaming games or recorded games online, one of the questions that I asked Edwin is why would people want to do it? And before I was talking to him at Gamehole about doing the show, and even after that happened, I was off gallivanting from the booth, and I came back, and there was a message for me that Shy Wiz or Chicago Wiz, who's been a super long blogger and kind of has disappeared lately, but I can remember people talking about him 10, 15 years ago, it feels like. He wanted to talk to me, and he was at his game. And so were you there when this happened, Edwin, or no? I can't remember. Okay. Well, so I just go in there to talk to him. I have no idea what he wants. It said something about streaming games, and I was just like, I don't really know anything about it, but I'll go talk to him, I'd never met him before, but he was like, he thought maybe I would know something about it. And I was like, I asked him, I was like, so why is it you want to stream your game? And he's like, well, I play 1E, and I have been playing 1E since it came out, and I never stopped playing it. And I feel like a lot of people talk about OSR games or playing fifth edition, but maybe they don't really know what first edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons could be like. So if I could share that with people through a streaming, I think that would be awesome. So that seems like a really good reason to me. What do you think? I mean, what do you think about that? Or why do you think you want to stream or why people even watch for that matter?
Yeah, so I kind of fell into it. So I used to, I do listen to a lot of actual play podcasts and a lot of also podcasts like this where people are talking about stuff. But I listened for several years to Skype of Cthulhu that does actual plays of Call of Cthulhu scenarios. And then somehow I ended up playing with them. And so I've been playing with them 4 or 5 years maybe. So that's one of my most regular, longest running games, right? We play basically 1.5 times a week and have been doing it for years. And that goes out. So that's recorded and sent out. So it's not a live stream. It's a little different. We don't have any audience interaction. We just record it, and then, somewhere between a week and 3 or 4 months later, it gets dropped. And that game is really, I would say 90% is just us playing. Like, we're having a good time, we're playing, and we happen to be recording it. But I also did, the Frog God game, for example, that we are streaming is a play test that we have I did the translation of Rapid Athic into fifth edition, and we're still working on, there's a lot of work to finish that up. I just sort of went through the traps, the spells, the magic items, the monsters, all the mechanical stuff, and made that into fifth edition. But we're play testing it, and this way we get some audience feedback. People can ask questions, and part of it's because the people in the game actually know the adventure as well as I do, or better in some cases. And so it's really about pushing pushing it around and tweaking it. And so having the audience, I think, is kind of nice because that helps us. I think in one sense, it forces us to actually play the game as opposed to talk about the game, which is what we do normally when we get together, is we're saying, so what do you think we should do about, this kind of monster? Yeah. No, it's, well, the monster comes and attacks. What do you do? Right. So it keeps us real. It keeps us honest a little bit, which is nice. I don't know. I mean, the live stream for the fundraising one, obviously we do it to raise money. I mean, it's fun, but I think it's also just a great way to get people in on the game. Suddenly we're playing a game with 30 people instead of 6 people.
I think one aspect of it that I'm kind of interested in is I get questions about I can talk about how I play or how I prep or how I run a game all day, but it's still not going to be the same as actually running or playing a game where people can watch. That's different. I mean, and that's pretty cool. If some people are interested in the way that I do it or the way Eric does it or the way you do it, maybe they want to see you in that game, or maybe, they've never played BX before and they want to see what it's all about, or, you know, what are we like normally when we're not, you know, in this perfectly scripted podcast like this?
I'm glad you wrote a really good script for us, actually. I've been meaning to say that. I think there's lots of good reasons to listen or watch. You want to learn about a new game system. You want to see how somebody else does a certain adventure. You know, I definitely know a lot of people who are planning to run something at a con for the first time, and so they go listen to some actual plays of it, or they want to learn about a new rule set. And I think that's kind of neat. And also some actual plays or streams are just plain old entertainment. I mean, they're just,
right.
You know. So here's something I was thinking about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I was listening to another podcast today, and they talked about, and I've heard this a billion times, we're all at the table to tell a story together. Boom, right?
Yeah.
Hard to argue with that one. Except I argue with everything. And so I finally figured out what bothered me about that phrase is that sometimes we're all at the table to discover a story together. And so I think there's something fun about watching people discover a story or discover something else. So there's a little bit of energy associated with the improv, the suspense of nobody knows, like, you know, as the audience, that nobody knows where it's going and nobody knows how it's going to get there. And it could fall flat on its face, even, you know, or whatever. And I think that is very different from watching, say, a television show where you know that, you know, by the time it's released, it's going to be, well, maybe not good, but it's going to be what they want it to be, right? Yeah. It's not going to be right? They know what the story is ahead of time. It is scripted.
Yeah, totally scripted.
So I think there's something fun there.
I like that. That fits right in with my whole theory of emergent play anyway, or playing for the GM right. to have fun as well. So that fits perfectly with this show. So I would agree. I mean, that makes sense to me. I'm really looking forward to checking it out and seeing it and trying it. So if we were going to do that, what do you, I mean, don't get too technical on me, but like maybe drop some terms or some places that we could look some stuff up online if we were going to talk about apps or hardware to use for this sort of thing.
So I know very little. I know that for the Frog God every other week game, we use XSplit, which is a paid app that apparently is pretty easy to set up. And I know that for our 24-hour game, they're using OBS, which is an open source. In fact, I think it's like open broadcasting something. It's free, and it's apparently more work to set up. And they both, basically what you need is you need to be able to bring several cameras together, and you need to be able to bring at least one, but ideally a couple audio lines together. And then you also want to have typically some kind of digital screen, right? So you want to have maybe a map or maybe a overlay, a template that says, you know, thanks to our sponsors, win fabulous prizes. And then you have, you know, pictures of cameras. So in this case, we'll have probably three cameras running. We'll have one for the GM and then one that shows each side of the table. So one camera will show three people, the other will show three people, and then the third camera will show the only important person at the table.
I'm not going to be there.
Occasionally switch. Oh, that's true.
I said, sorry. I'm not going to be there. go ahead. I'm just kidding.
That's true. You will not be there. You're the only important. So you're not at the table. Exactly. And we'll also have be able to switch the camera to look at the map with the minis if that ever gets exciting. So it's really a matter of how you mix that together. And I think, like everything else, you know, you watch some other people's video podcast and get an idea of what looks good, what you think is nice in terms of, do you want to keep switching back and forth, you know, having the camera switch from person to person, or do you want fixed cameras and everybody's a little bit smaller? Do you want to have the chat? So like one thing we're excited about is having the text chat from Twitch so that we can all see that, having our fundraising goal, that'll be up there. So there's a lot of things. I know Extra Life actually provides some tools that works with Twitch, and Twitch has tools that work with OBS. So it's a big mess, and I'm more interested in what I want the, you know, my job is to figure out what I want the product to look like, and then I rely on the youths to figure out how to make that happen.
For everyone else who isn't a professor and doesn't have a bunch of youths that he can, leverage, I guess the important part of all that is
you find a 20-year-old who comes into the game store and you ask them.
Well, my boy Jose says he knows what's up, so.
So you ask Jose.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what he was saying, but I was like, oh, I'm talking to Edwin tonight. I'll have all the info, man. We'll be top notch. We'll be ready to do our streaming thing. And like, I don't know, Edwin. I'm just kidding.
Yep. I'm gonna let you down on that one.
All right. All right. So I feel like we already covered this Frog Gods Twitch thing, so we can, I mean, is there anything else you wanted to talk about as far as the streaming goes, or?
No, I think it's, I mean, I'll lay it out there. It's every other Thursday live, and then it's available later on YouTube. And it's been kind of fun. And we're actually starting to get a little more audience interaction. I actually can't watch the chat on that one because I'd never be able to DM because I can't keep a straight face while all the stuff's going on in the background. But the players seem to have a good time watching whatever's happening. I think it's a good time for the audience also.
All right. So if you need an extra player sometime, let me know. I'll show up on there for you.
Awesome.
So anyway, all right. So that's great. I mean, the Extra Life thing is incredible. And anytime that you can be gaming to try and get charity for, you know, children's hospitals, I think that's a win. So
absolutely.
All right. So I have a couple products I wanted to spotlight. First, one that just got done with a Kickstarter and funded that I mentioned previously, the Mitterlands. Edwin was part writer on that. And so was Monkey. Why don't you just talk about it? Talk about, you know, give us a 1-minute pitch on it or something.
Sure. So it basically, Glenn Seal, Monkey Blood Design, lives in the Midlands of England, and he has turned it into a pretty horrific place. Maybe it already is a horrific place. I don't know. I haven't been. But he has sort of made it into, you know, made it into fantasy land, put stuff back together in a little more interesting way. And he asked me to write up a bunch of monsters for it. I think there's, I don't know, 15 or 20. And basically each one, it's all, I think we did Swords and Wizardry in the end, but it's all basically some version of Zero Edition. But he wanted each one to be a monster, as in, you know, you get in a bestiary, and then it's also a race as class. So we made up a level progression for each one, and then there's an NPC version. So there's three sort of entries for each creature, and basically he drew the artwork for it, and he made the name, and he wrote one or two sentences of what he thought this creature would be like, and then I took it from there and pushed it and pulled it as far as I could to make it fun and interesting. They're completely and horribly unbalanced in terms of being, you know, playable classes, which is awesome. And there's some humor in there and some unpleasantness. There's some good creatures and some bad creatures, you know, they're all over the map. But the real thing about the book is not actually my creatures. It's the beautiful, beautiful artwork and maps of
Glenn. Yeah.
They're just gorgeous stuff. The book is printing, I think, right now. I think it's actually shipping soon. I'm very excited to see it. It's going to be I've been resisting reading a lot of the setting guide stuff because I just want to sit down with the book when it shows up and really sink into it as opposed to, you know, reading it electronically ahead of time. So I'm very excited for that to come out.
That'll be pretty interesting. The way it's so green is not something I've seen very often in a game. So
very green.
It's a pretty cool looking book. I backed it myself and I'm excited about it. The other thing that I wanted to mention on the show is that we're no longer going to have Hex Talk episodes on Hobbs and Friends of the OSR.
No.
I know it's a sorry thing. The entire group busted up. You know, we were playing some games and one guy backstabbed another. And from now on, no, I'm just totally kidding about all that. We're not going to have Hex Talk on Hobbs and Friends anymore because it's going to be its own podcast. That's going to be the same crew. Woo! me, Jose, and Eric are going to be doing Hex Talk. Hopefully, I mean, every other week. That's our plan. I don't know when it's going to release, but it'll be opposite Hobbs and Friends. So you'll be able to have Hobbs Weekly now. So there's much excitement about that. So you don't really have to say anything about
it. Maybe they'll talk over you some.
They usually do. They have no problem with that.
Yeah. Good.
As far as the state of the OSR, let's I wanted to mention briefly that not necessarily on Google Plus, I haven't been seeing it, but on Twitter and Facebook, there's a lot of politics going on about con safety. Like I go to North Texas, Edwin, you go to North Texas. That's a convention right now that's getting a lot of heat. Doug Rea is ex military service, ex police officer, and just a regular old service guy. People are taking a lot of his comments out of context, and I think it's kind of sad. I'm still going to go to North Texas. I don't think if I don't ever want anyone to feel uncomfortable during their games. And if you do, I think the best thing you can do is walk away. Don't be involved with that person anymore. I mean, it's the same thing that happens like in public schools or at a concert or getting gas at the gas station. You're never really safe, and you should always be considerate about your surroundings. And if someone engages with you that makes you uncomfortable, tell them they make you uncomfortable and then walk away. That's all you have to do. And I'm not trying to say that it's harder or easier. I mean, I lived a fairly traumatic life. But I don't think that the witch hunts that are being created about North Texas or on anyone else are the right thing to do. I mean, do you have anything you wanted to say about that, Edwin? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay. You don't have to.
I absolutely know what you're talking about, and I think it's a big and important issue. But yeah, I don't have anything to add to
it. I'm not always I'm not perfect or anything, and I really am not political in any way. I just think that aspect of it is sad. I think that maybe we do need policies. Maybe that is something we need to figure out, but I don't know if that's the way to go about it. So, all right, then we'll just move on from then. We don't have to worry about that. All right, so we're going to get into the outro section. This is the section that Eric always stops paying attention, so I always try to ask him a question in the middle of it. So, Edwin, you know, keep on your toes, brother. No. All right.
I'm ready.
So I have a Patreon. If you enjoy the show and you want to support it financially, you can go to www.patreon.com/osrnhobbs, and then you might get shouted out during the episode, like Eric Jensen, who's got Trident Con coming on this weekend. And I bet we all hope that the excavation of the Tomb of Lornane wins a Krabby Mallet. Sean P. Kelly, I heard that he's got like a big hairdo, and I don't know what else he does. And David Horrocks is a guy I don't even know, but I really appreciate your patronage. Keep it up, and I hope that you enjoy the show. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, Edwin, and talk to you personally about all the awesome stuff you do, how would they reach you?
They can reach me really via email, enn.in.me@gmail.com. I'm on G+ with the same name. That's really about it. I don't have a huge social media presence.
Okay, so I wouldn't say I do either, but apparently I have a lot of things here to say. So maybe I do. You can you can email me at HobbsandFriends@misdirectedmark.com. I'm on the Twitters at Hobbs Indeed, or the podcast has its own Twitter feed at OSRNHobbs. And next episode is we're going to talk about all of the emails and Twitter and stuff that you guys, the listeners, send in with Chris, the editor of the show.
Oh, cool.
So that should be fun, you know, for people to see. I have the G+ community, Hobbs and Friends of the OSR, with 457 members. We're so close to all the other podcasts that I don't even mention how many people we got anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what else do I have to do, Edwin? Nothing.
I think you should see if you can get half of them to show up on the 17th.
Okay, that's good. Everyone try to show up.
Everyone show up, and everyone donate at least $1. That'll get you in the raffle.
Donate. And I mean, the raffle sounds great. If you want to show your support for the show as you're doing that, you know, just put like Hobbs in there somewhere. Hey, I'm here from Hobbs and Friends, and here's my dollar. And Edwin, I want you to kill Skeeter. No,
I will shout it out.
All right. That sounds great. Is there any last things you want to say, Edwin?
I do not.
All right. Well, Hobbs and Friends of the OSR is part of the Misdirected Mark Network, the media arm of Encoded Designs. Everyone, have a good night.